We are in Advent, and just love to see the kids and love lighting the Advent wreath. And this morning we're looking at hope, and we are in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. And this is the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. When the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of parents and their children and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I've been sent to speak to you and tell you the good news. And now you'll be silent and not able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, it's always sort of a challenge as a pastor or maybe as a Sunday school teacher, as we look at the familiar Christmas stories, to think of maybe a new facet to bring some fresh light on it. So I thought we would take a look, a journey through Bethlehem, through the eyes of some of the famous movies that are probably part of our heart and our family life. And so we're looking at Christmas at the movies this year. And this morning we're looking at Home Alone. Now, I don't know what your family traditions are. For my daughter and I, Christmas movies as a whole, are a big part of our family life. And at home, movies are great too. Now, last year, with the pandemic, it brought a whole new meaning to us staying at home and watching all these great movies and thinking it would be nice to be out at the theater. Now, hopefully the Omicron variant doesn't make us stay home again. But regardless, you know, movies and Christmas movies, I think, are part of our family life. And for me as a pastor, probably you too, there's moments in those movies where I don't lecture my daughter, but I'll go like, "See that? You see that?" And she goes, "I know, Dad." And but I think there's some real aha moments in the movies. And it's interesting, I think, because it's almost as if Hollywood knows if you're going to make a Christmas movie special, you have to tap into the Christmas story. So I invite you to think about Home Alone. Well, I hope you, how many people you enjoy this great movie, Home Alone? One of my favorites, and it's so funny, but there's some really amazing things in it. So as we think about this movie, Home Alone, the first thing to think about is to, in there is that you forgot the most important thing. And you remember in this story, the family has been planning the vacation of a lifetime. In fact, they've invited all the family members over, and there's 11 kids scrambling about, all the chaos, not just of one big family, but all these different families, and they're scrambling in order to get everything right. They have to catch the flight early in the morning to go to Paris, and they've never been to Paris, and it's just crazy. They're trying to get pizza, and of course, this police officer, not really a police officer, because by the scope of the place out, and he can't even believe the chaos that's there. And then a family fight breaks out, and Kevin is like, he's like the kid everybody picks on, right? His older brother Buzz sort of pushes out of him. His sister kind of makes fun of him, and Kevin just feels left out. And all he wanted was a little bit of cheese pizza, and he didn't even get that. And finally, he just bursts out and kind of loses it in the midst of all of this, and he's banished to the attic, to the third floor, right? And so the family goes to bed, and wouldn't you know, the power goes out at night, and the alarm clocks all go out, right? And so they wake up late, and they're scrambling to catch the two vans to the airport, and they're scrambling around, and the neighborhood kid happens to be standing around, right, who's about the size of Kevin, right? And so they're counting the kids real quick, and they just see the back of him, and they count 11, and everybody scrambles in. And then, of course, they're late at the airport, and they unload these two vans. They're all running, and they all run onto the plane. And then the wife is on the plane, and she's thinking, you know, it seems like I forget something. Now, they're in first class. The kids are all in coach class, right? So, and then halfway through, she goes, no, it's not this, it's not this. And then she screams, Kevin! She realizes she forgot the most important thing at home, Kevin. Oh, man. And then Kevin, meanwhile, has been up in the attic, and he comes down. And Kevin's last wish before going to bed was he wished his family would go away, right? So he comes downstairs, and he looks, and the family's gone. And he thinks somehow, through his kid-like magical powers, he's wished his family away. So the family forgot the most important thing, and I think maybe Kevin forgot the most important thing, which is, you know, family and faith. And I think when I look at this story of Zechariah, maybe Zechariah forgot the most important thing, too. He and Sarah, he and Elizabeth, rather, have been wanting a child for forever, it seems like. And they're way up in years, long past the years for childbearing. And they prayed and longed for a child, but maybe they forgot the most important thing, that God is still at work in our lives, and that God still answers prayer. And so for all of us, maybe sometimes in the chaos of Christmas, do we sometimes forget the most important thing? One, that, you know, Christ is there, that Christ is the most important thing, and all kinds of good busyness, be it vacations, be it shopping, be it all the things that are on our to-do list, but the most important thing on the journey to Christmas is Christ. And also family. Sometimes we're in a busy of all those other kinds of things, and to remember that God still answers prayer. Well, the second thing I think is that hope is found. Now, the family is scrambling, you know, behind the scenes. Kevin doesn't know it, but they're scrambling to try to get home. The wife won't leave the airport until she gets on a plane. The rest of the family went to the hotel to try to figure out and get the next flight, but that's not quick enough for her. But, you know, for Kevin, hope is found too. But first think about, for a moment, Zechariah and Elizabeth thinking about hope all this time. And where did Zechariah and Elizabeth find hope? In the church. In the church, right? Zechariah is going through his duties. Maybe he's just going through the motions. It was sort of set up like it's like every other time, other than they sort of cast a lot, they draw sort of names, and Zechariah goes in. And in the midst of that, what was an ordinary day in the temple in the house of God became a miraculous day. And so Zechariah found hope in God's house. And Elizabeth, by way of Zechariah, found hope in God's house as well. Now, do you remember where the story changes for Home Alone? Where does Kevin find hope? Kevin finds hope in church. I know, Hollywood, seriously? Yes, Kevin finds hope in church. Have you forgotten? You should go watch the movie again, because it is a great movie. Kevin, worried about these robbers that were trying to get in the house, who he staved up and knows they're going to make it, and he doesn't quite know what to do, and so he goes to this church in the middle of the night, and Christmas Eve there, and he creeps in, and he sits down in the pew, and he's listening to the choir. And he looks over, and there's this old man, the stranger next door, that all the neighborhood kids think is the bad guy, that he did all kinds of bad things. There's all these legends about that, and Kevin's scared of this guy. He's got a big grizzly beard, and he carries around a snow shovel, and they got all kinds of rumors about him. And so the old man looks over at Kevin, and eventually the old man is over and he sits next to Kevin. And Kevin at first is really scared of this old man, this stranger. And the old man looks at Kevin and says, "How you doing?" And he says, "What are you doing here?" And Kevin says, "Well, you know, I think I did something really bad. I think I wished my family away. And I'm not sure if I'm welcome here in church." And the old man says, "Well, we're all welcome in church. We should be." And so Kevin kind of smiles and nods at that and begins to think. And then the old man tells Kevin, he says, "Listen, I know there's a lot of rumors about me going around the neighborhood, but I want you to know that none of those are true. You know, I'm a good guy, and if you ever need some help, I'm there for you." Isn't it interesting that sometimes strangers bring hope? And it really is that way in the Christmas story. Oftentimes, the innkeeper and all these other moments of hope. And so Kevin turns to this old man and asks him why he's there. I mean, after all, it's not Sunday services or anything. And the old man says, "You see that little girl up there in the choir? That's my granddaughter. And I come here to listen to her sing." He says, "Unfortunately, I'm not welcome at their house." And Kevin says, "Well, why?" He says, "Well, her dad and I, my son, got into an argument one day, and we said some things that we shouldn't have said. And I told him I never wanted to see him again. He told me he never wanted to see me again, and we haven't spoken since. So I come here to listen to my granddaughter sing." And Kevin says, "Well, why don't you call him up?" And the old man says, "Well, I'm afraid he won't talk to me." Kevin said, "What? You know, why not call him? And then at least you'll know." And the old guy sort of nods at that. Kevin leads, and the old man sits there. But it's interesting, isn't it, that Hollywood even needs to find hope where they know hope can be found, which is in the church. And you and I, too, sometimes, we're just going through the motions. It's Christmas. We're on the way to Advent. We got all these busy things happening. But God still brings hope in God's house, whether it's Zechariah going through the motions as a priest, or whether it's Kevin or the old man that nobody really knows about sitting there listening to Christmas carols, and suddenly the magic of hope, the magic of Christmas sort of breaks through all that. And so hope is found in God's house. And the final thing is that miracles still happen. I love this part of Christmas. That miracles happen in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of places, in places that you'd least realize, from people that you'd least recognize. Well, of course, you know, for Zechariah and Elizabeth, of course, they had a baby that they didn't believe could happen. In fact, Zechariah didn't believe it would happen so much because he just didn't believe miracles happen, that the angel had to make him silent until his baby son was born. Now, Zechariah had a hand motion what happened out there to the people, but the biggest thing he had, of course, he had to go home and tell Elizabeth, "Hey, things are happening," and miracles still happen, but the miracle happened for them, and they would give birth to John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner of Jesus. And Elizabeth and Mary would have this older moment and younger moment, both in pregnancy, where they encouraged one another in a miraculous way that was about to unfold some 5 months down the road. And of course, for Kevin, who was hoping that he didn't wish his family away, and to Kevin's parents and family, who were hoping they could get reunited to Kevin before something drastic happens, and it turns out that the robbers were indeed trying to get into the house. Kevin, through a lot of clever antics, is pushing the robbers away. And through an incredible, clever sort of series of events, Kevin finds that he tricks the robbers. They end up going next door. The police come, get the robbers. But who's there to help Kevin at the last moment? The old guy, the stranger next door, hits him over the head with a shovel, even after all the clever antics. And isn't it amazing that a miracle still happen from strangers, from people outside of our circle, when we're willing to sort of take that next step, that God is ever at work in people that look other than us, people that are different, and that God's spirit of hope and God's spirit of miracles still works. Well, of course, for Kevin, all of a sudden his mom, who's taking this flight, and then can't find another flight in order to get to their home in Chicago, ends up sort of hitching a ride with this polka band and an interesting group of characters. And she arrives, and the family, who is waiting for the next flight, ends up arriving about the same time, and they see Kevin, and Kevin realizes that he never wished them away. And they realize, even though that Kevin sort of is a lightning rod for some of the problems, that they all missed each other. And so in that miraculous moment, they are reunited and realize what is most important, which is their family. And I think maybe a spark of faith and all that. So let me ask you today, in your busyness of life and all your Christmas lists, it's not even December, but probably most of us have a list of what needs to be done. We just got over Thanksgiving, and yet we're moving right into Christmas and Advent and the journey to Bethlehem. But in your busyness, have you forgot the most important thing, your faith in Christ and your love of family? Have you found or discovered the place where hope happens, in God's house? Right here in the midst, the sacredness. Sometimes it seems routine, but God is there if you quietly listen and wait for God's Spirit at work. And sometimes in strangers as well. And then miracles still happen. Miracles happen as God waits for us and God picks the right moment to break through all of our busyness. And sometimes God uses strangers even and other family members as we discover the most important thing. Back in 2008, Savannah and I were in New York City, and we were in Connecticut for a little while. And if you recall back in 2008, it was a bleak year. We started out great, but the market collapsed. The financial markets, the real estate markets, everything collapsed. And it was horrific. And that was sort of the epicenter there, New York City, of all of that. People were even losing their homes, and it was devastating. And we were in New York City, and I want to take Savannah to Rockefeller Center to see the tree lit. And you could feel the anxiety and the fear in the air. There's just darkness because the markets had collapsed. People couldn't see their way out of it. People were losing jobs. And everywhere you were, New York City's pretty bustling anyway and pretty chaotic. But as we sort of pressed our way into Rockefeller Center, we got to the place where if Savannah was on my shoulders, we saw the tree light up, the beautiful Christmas tree. It's just so impressive, and there was like angels decorating it around the edge. And as that tree lit up, it was like not just me, but the whole crowd just sort of got quiet. It's like, you know, things aren't easy right now. There wasn't a pandemic, but there was a horrific financial crisis. There was a real estate crisis. People were wondering what they're going to do. But in that moment, in the darkness, when that tree lit up, it was like, wow. You could feel the magic in the air. And it's like, we're not home alone anymore. God is with us. Whatever the fear, whatever the darkness, whatever the challenges you and I are facing, we're not home alone. That God is still here. And so I challenge you today, whatever you're facing, there's a lot of things out there, to just slow down in the midst of the chaos and to realize that in the busyness, to not forget the most important thing, to realize that hope is still found in Christ, the King, the babe in Bethlehem, and to realize that the miracles still happen, and the greatest miracle is the miracle of God working in our hearts. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, as we journey this Advent from here to Bethlehem, and we think about some of the challenges that we face and maybe even some of the darkness that seems to swirl in our world. But we know that in the darkest night, the light shines brightest. And that's why you came to us as a child in Bethlehem, inviting us in through stars and through shepherds and through Mary and Joseph and Zachariah and Elizabeth, inviting us to come closer to this miracle that would change the world forever. But most importantly, change our lives forever. In Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.